Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Hey, and we begin about 10 lines from the top, the words, Tvei Rabbi Yishmol Tona. So yesterday we were discussing that there is a prohibition, midaraisa, to own chametz on Yud-Dalet Nisan, and that starts in the middle of the day at noon, 6 hours, at the completion of 6 hours into the day, that's when the lav, the araisa, to own chametz, that chametz in your possession occurs. The Isser of Karis, as we mentioned, starts only at night. Before that, there's also Harchakos, the Rabbanon, we had a machlokos from Mein Rehuda. So now we begin, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, they learned in the base medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. They learned as follows. Motzinu Arba'a Sar Shniku Rishon. We find that the 14th day of Nisan is also referred to as Rishon. Now the Pasuk doesn't really mean that. We're darshining the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Shinema Barishon, which really means in the first month, i.e. in Nisan, be Arba'a Sar Yom Lachodesh, on the 14th day of the month. But we're darshining it Rishon here to coincide with the understanding that we had in yesterday's Pasuk by Yom HaRishon, that on the first day, which means the 14th day of Nisan, you're not allowed to own any chametz. As we had learned, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu. So this Brisa from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel agrees with that usage. Similarly, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, we had him many times yesterday mentioned, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Rishon D'meikara Mashmi. He says the word Rishon implies beforehand. In other words, before the Pesach starts, so there's a Rishon before then, D'meikara is Mashma. And this is based upon a pasuk in Iyov. Rav Nachum Yitzchak Amar Rishon D'meikara Mashma, based upon this pasuk in Iyov, D'omar Kra. Now the pasuk is, it's a very funny way to spell the word Rishon. Our Gemara spells it without the Yud, but the pasuk has a Yud in it. So it's really Hey Reish Aleph Yud Shin Vav Nun. I'm not sure if there's any significance to that extra Yud, but HaRishon Adam Tivaleh, the pasuk is asking, were you born before Adam HaRishon? So we see the word over here, Rishon, HaRishon, implies something happening beforehand. So this pasuk, Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, that implies something before Pesach. That's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us. Gemara asks, if this is true, then every time we have the word Rishon, it should mean something beforehand. So now we have a couple of other psukim that are going to be difficult to understand if that's correct. El Me'atel Gemara says, Ulekachtem Lochem Bayom HaRishon. It says in regarding to Sukkot, if you're supposed to take a lulav and esog, it says Bayom HaRishon. Does that mean Hochanami Rishon D'meikara Mashma? It means you're supposed to take the lulav and esog before Sukkot starts? On your Dalet, there's a chiyuv to take lulav and esog? That's not true. The chiyuv to take lulav and esog starts on Tesvav. Gemara says, no, that's different. Shiny Hossam. Why is that? Because the Pasuk tells it, the Siv, Usmachten, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, Shivas Yomin. We have a mitzvah to be Sameach in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu for the 7 days of Sukkot. Of course, Shmini Atzeres is Ragu Bifnei Atzmo, that's going to come as well. So here in this Pasuk, we have the mitzvah 7 days of Simcha, Mashvi, Shvi L'chag. Here we have the seventh day, meaning obviously the seventh day of the Yontif. So too, therefore, the first day here has to be taken not to mean before the Yontif, Af, Rishon, it means Rishon Lechog. Shmuel says, if that's true, so then say the same thing over here with our pasuk, Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu. Hochanami, Siv Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu. It means, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. For 7 days you shall eat matzah, and during those 7 days that you're supposed to eat matzah, you're not allowed to eat chametz. So therefore, it says, Bayom Rishon Tashbisu. Again, if Sukkot, we're saying the Yom HaRishon there means the first day of Sukkot because of 7 days. So too by Pesach it says 7 days. Shivas Yom Matzos Tochelu. So then the first day by Yom HaRishon means on Tezvav and not Yadalit. So it says no. That would be true if it just said Rishon. Imke Nichtov Kora Rishon. Let the pasuk just say Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu. But it says Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Shmamino Chidamorin. It means the day before Pesach. The Gemara says, then the same thing applies by Sukkot. I hachi hasam nami. By Sukkot, it says, ha rishon also. So, lomali, if you're telling me by Pesach, ha rishon means the day before Pesach, so then by Sukkot, you mean the day before Sukkot as well. And furthermore, v'su, hasam dechsev, it says there, by yom rishon shabboson, v'yom hashmini shabboson, it says another time a rishon. It says the first day is a day of shabboson, a day that you're not allowed to do malacha. It says by yom hashmini shabboson, and shmini atzeres is also a day that you're not allowed to do malacha. So, emor, rishon, the meikara mashma. If you're telling me, harishon means the day before, so is that true that on Yud Dalet in Tishrei, you're also not allowed to do malacha? That's not correct. So again, the Gemara says, no, Shiny Hossam, it's different there by Sukkot. Why is that? Yom HaKra, Uvayom HaShmini Shabbason. It says, on the eighth day is Shabbason. So it says, Mashmini Shmini Dechak. Just like the eighth day means the eighth day of the holiday, so too, Af Rishon, Rishon Dechak. So there, the word Rishon also means the first day and not the day before the first day. So then, HaRishon Lamali, why do you need then the word HaRishon in this Pasuk? So, Limute Cholo Shamayr. Ah, that's coming to exclude the din of Malacha from Cholamayr. Now, this is a whole separate discussion as to whether there's an Issa Malacha on Cholamayr that's Daraisa, or is it only the Rabbanan? It's a major machlokis amongst the poskim. So according to this drasha, this HaRishon is coming to tell me that only the first and the eighth day have an Issa of Malacha, but Cholamayr does not. Shmuel says, Chol Shamayid Merishon Ushmini Nafka. I would know that there's no Issa Malacha according to the Shita of an Issa Malacha on Chol Shamayid from the Pasuk where it tells me from the first and the eighth day. Chol Shamayid Merishon Ushmini Nafka. The Pasuk tells me the first day is Shabbason, the eighth day is Shabbason. Those are the only days of the Shabbason. So I don't need this Pasuk to tell me the HaRishon to tell me the Chol Shamayid. Shmuel says, no, you need it. It's Drich. Because I would have said on my own, So Kodai to Chaminoch. Since the pasuk adds a vav over here and says uvayom hashmini, that seems to apply the first day and chol hamoed and the eighth day. I would have said vav mosif al inyan rishon. Dafil b'chol shemayid. I would have said that even chol hamoed is an issur melacha. Ah, kamash melan. That's why it has to say ha rishon to tell me that it doesn't include chol hamoed. The Gemara says the obvious question. So don't write the vav and don't write the hey. Velo lichta rechmana lo vav and tell me uvayom hashmini. So don't write that vav and don't write harishot, the hey. So you don't have to write either of them, and then I'm back right in the first place that it's only also to work on the first day and on the eighth day. Why do we need these extra words? Velo lichta rechmana lo vav lo hey. Gemara says, furthermore, v'su, hasam d'chsiv, it says also in regards to Pesach, it says, bayom ha-rishon, it says ha-rishon over there as well. Mikra kodesh yeluchem, it should be a mikra kodesh. In implying, if this ha-rishon, is this drasha correct, it means beforehand, rishon d'meikara mashma. Again, does it mean that you're not allowed to work the day before Pesach? Well, we have machlok, it's mokum shenagu, mokum shalonagu, we had that later in the Masechta, we already brought it down previously. Nobody says it's an Issa Daraisa, but the way that we're darshing this word, HaRishon, so it says by Pesach, by Yom HaRishon, Mikra Kodesh Yeluchem, if you're telling me HaRishon means Meikara, Rishon Meikara Mashma, so then it should be also to work on your Dalit as well. So that's not true either. So Gemara says, you're right. Elohani Shlosha Rishon Miboyle. These three times X where it says the word HaRishon, as opposed to where it says it by Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu, which we need to tell me the day before. But the other three times it says HaRishon, they're coming to tell me three separate drashos. L'dechetani Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Like they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. So these three HaRishons are needed to tell me Bischar Shlosha Rishon, because of these three times that it says Rishon, Zachu L'shlosha Rishon. Klai Yisrael got the zchus, they merited having three Rishons. What does that mean? L'hachru Zara Shleisav, we got to destroy and we will win against Zara Shleisav. We get to build Levinya Beis HaMikdash and L'shmo Shal Moshiach, and name of Moshiach. Now we'll see what this means as the war continues. The war says, where do we see that these three HaRishons are connected, these three things? So the first HaRishon is L'hachris Zaru Shal Esav, to destroy, to cut off all the Zera of Esav. What does that mean? D'chsev. It says by Esav, we just had this in last week's parish as well. V'yetze HaRishon Admoni Kulo Kiaderes Seyar. The beginning of Parshas told us, it tells us about the birth of Esav and Yaakov. And it says that the first one came out, HaRishon, came out all red. So that HaRishon is keneged, this HaRishon of Esav, and that we will win against Esav. The second HaRishon is needed, Ulubinyan Beis HaMikdash, because it says in regards to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Kisei Kavod Morom, MeRishon Mekom Mikdashenu, that we will be Zoche to have this Rishon Mekom Mikdashenu, which is described in a pasuk in Yirmiyah. And then the third HaRishon is L'shmo Shal Mashiach. That's the name of Mashiach, to see of Rishon L'tzion, Hinei Hinam, that the Rishon L'tzion, meaning Mashiach, he will be here. So these three HaRishons that we learn from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael are needed for these three Zuchusim that we will have in Mirtza Hashem. And that's why you don't need them to teach me the day before, but Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, that God does come to teach me the day before. That's one teretz. That's one way of darshing this. Rava Marihocha. Rava says, this is the drasha, how we know that on Yudalid, there is an Issa Daraisa from Chatzos until nightfall for chometz. You're not allowed to have chometz in possession on a daraisa level a lot. Rav Amar Yochi says it's from this pasuk. The pasuk says lo sishchat al chometz dam zivchi. You're not allowed to shecht the carbon pesach, which is shechted in the afternoon after chatzos, while you have chometz in your possession. Lo sishchat al chometz. You're not allowed to shecht the carbon pesach when you have chometz. Lo sishchat al pesach v'dayin chometz kayim. So therefore, it must be an issur daraisa for you to have possession of chometz from chatzos and on, which is when you can start shechting the carbon pesach bein harbayim. But maybe that has to do with each individual person. It's not a general rule for Chai Yisrael. Not everybody in Chai Yisrael shechted the Korban Pesach at 12:01. Some people did it at 1:01. Some people did it at 2:01. The Gemara later on the Masechta is going to say that there were three groups of people, the Zrizim, those people that couldn't get in, and then the late comers. So there were three groups, and not everybody shechted it at once. Maybe the Pasuk is telling us that when you shecht your Korban Pesach, you are not allowed to own chametz. But if you shecht your Korban Pesach only at 9 hours into the day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so then until then you could have chametz. Not noon, but till 9 hours into the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mori says, that you should look at each individual person and not all of Klai Yisrael at noon. So Gemara says, no. When the pasuk says, lo sishchat al chometz, it means, zeman shchit amar rachmona. The Torah is telling us, at the time that you are allowed to go, shecht the Korban Pesach, when it's the afternoon, which means after chatzos, so therefore, that is the time that you're no longer allowed to have chometz. And the Gemara says, I have a braisa to support what Rava says. Tani nami hochi. A braisa supports exactly what Rava said. This pasuk is quoted in the braisa, our pasuk, ach bayom harishon, tashbishu se'or bibotechem. It says, on the first day, yom harishon, that's when you have to destroy all the chametz. Now, what does that mean? The braisa asks, does it mean me'erev yontiv? Does it mean before yontiv starts, o eno ela biyontiv atzvo? Maybe it means only on tesvav, when tesvav starts. So, what does it mean? So, the Gemara says, Talmud Lomer, the pasuk says, lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. We have the other pasuk that tells us that you're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach when you have chametz. So, therefore, lo sishchat is a pesach, vadayin chametz kaim. You're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach while you still have chametz in your possession. Divi Rabbi Shmuel. Oh, this braisa is exactly what Rava said. And that's another drasha, how we know that the Issa Daraisa, albeit a lav, applies from chatzos until nightfall. And only chametz kicks in at nightfall. Now, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Braisa continues and gives us two other opinions. It gives us the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Yossi, or on the side, the Girsa says, is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So, the second opinion of the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzarech. You don't need this drasha that Rabbi Shmuel just brought down from the words, Los Yishchad HaChomeitz Dam Zivchi. He says, this is where you get it from. Hari Omen, the Pasuk says, Ach Bayom Marisho Tashbishu Sorbi Botechem, our base Pasuk. And then it says, Uksiv, Komulacha. Now, the Girsa that we have is Lo Sasu. But on the side, it says, the Pasuk should be Lo Yeyoseb Bohem. So, this pasuk tells us, "Umatzinu lehavara shi ad malacha." We learn from here that havara, burning, is an ad malacha. You're not allowed to go and light on Shabbos, and that's one of the ad malachos. And therefore, it must be at a time that you're not allowed to burn something on yontif that has no tzorech. So you're not allowed to burn the chametz on yontif. So when the pasuk says "Ach bayom rishon tashbisu," you should burn it. It can't be talking about on yontif because it says "Kol malacha lo yeseh bahen." You're not allowed to do malacha on yontif that has no purpose, and therefore umotzin lavara shi ablocha. Since havara is an ablocha, it must mean that you have to burn the chametz not when it's yontif, but it's before yontif. From noon chatzos on your dalid. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha, and the final third drasha again argues. It says Rabbi Yossi Omer on the side. It tells us. And some of the Girsa from the Agos, from the Yechezkel Landau, so he brings down that it should be Rav Yossi HaGlili. In any event, whoever this Tana is, Rav Yossi HaGlili, Eino Tzarech. He doesn't need the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, nor the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. He says, this is the drasha. Our pasuk again, Hari Omer, Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu Sormi Batechem, the base pasuk, and he says, do we mean the Erev Yontif or Eino El B'Yontif? Again, the same question. When are you supposed to do this Tashbisu? On Tesvav or even on Yadalit from Chatzos? So he says, Talmud Lomar, Ach, the words Ach that we had previously, Cholak. It's coming to distinguish and divide up Yadalit. Half the day you can have Chametz, and then Chatzos, you can't have Chametz anymore. And again, we had the interesting gematria that Rashi had brought down for this Achas Beta Gif Dakats, which is every seventh letter. You go from the Aleph, then to the Ches, then to the Samach, and if you do it that gematria, so then Ach becomes Chetz, which is Chetzi, half. The Ibi Yom Tov Atzmo, the Gemara finalizes his drush and said, if we were talking about on Yom Tov itself, Tezvav, so then Mishari, are you allowed to have chametz half this day? The Ach tells us half the day. So obviously, on half of Tezvav, you can't have chametz. Ha Iskish Hashbasa Sar Lachilas Chametz. We know that you have to have the chametz destroyed, and you can't have any chametz around at the time that it's supposed to be destroyed. And we know, v'achilas chametz, achilas matzah. We had this hekesh previously, at the time that you're not allowed to have chametz, that's when you have to have matzah. So therefore, that can't be talking about tezvav. Rav Yossi or Rav Yossi Aglil says it must be talking about yedalit from chatzos and onward. So this is the full braisa, tani nami yochi, that supports the ideas that we said, including Rav's opinion, is supported by the Rabbi Yishmael. Now the Gemara says, let's go look at this braisa. Omar Rava says, now we turn to the Amud Beis, we learn three things from this braisa. Shmami no tlos. We learn three things from over here. Shmami no ami, the Rabbi Akiva tlos. We learn three things out from Rabbi Akiva Shita, that it must be talking about your dalit, because you have to do the malacha of tashbisu, which you can't do on yontif. So number one, shmami no ein bir chametz el sreifa. Obviously, you have to do the bir chametz with sreif, according to Rabbi Akiva, otherwise it wouldn't be a malacha. If you just had to throw it in the garbage, you just had to throw it in the ocean, so there's no isser in necessarily doing that on yontif. So therefore, it must be that you, according to Rabbi Akiva, must do bir. That's the tashbis, who must be burning, and since you're not allowed to burn unnecessarily on yontif, so therefore, it must be talking about your dalit. That's number one that we learn from Rabbi Akiva. Number two, ushmamina havara lechalik yotzis. That havara, we have a whole machlokus, if you remember, from the Gemara in Shabbos, as to the 39 malachos, if you did all 39 malachos on one Shabbos, and you knew that it was Shabbos, and you just didn't know each separate malacha was an Isser, so then you have to bring 39 separate chatos. So, we learned this out from Havara, that Havara was specifically mentioned in the Torah, that lo saviru eish b'chol mosh vosechem, to teach us this principle, that every one of the Av malachos should be chayiv a separate chatos on, if you knew it was Shabbos, but you didn't know each Av malacha. So we learn this from Rabbi Akiva, that he holds this drasha. Shmamino havara l'chalik yotzis. And the third thing that we learn from Rabbi Akiva's opinion, shmamino lo minun hoel v'huch ravara l'tzorech, huch anayim shalo l'tzorech. We do have a principle that once you're allowed to do something for hetedika purposes, for example, you're allowed to go and heat up food, cook food on yontif for tzorech ocho nefesh, so therefore you're allowed to go and turn a light on to go and read by. Because mitoch shuhutru l'tzorech, since it was permissible for tzorech, so it's also permissible shelo l'tzorech, albeit we learn out shelo l'tzorech means it has to be tzorech yontif kitzas. There has to be a purpose in doing it. Now here, the hashbasa, the havara, has no purpose in yontif. You're just doing it to destroy something, but there's no positive benefit from it. Therefore, you have to destroy it before yontif. That type of havara would not be allowed. So those are the three things we learn from Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Now the Gemara continues and brings down another braisa, Tora Rabbanan. The braisa tells us here, Shivas Yomim Sor Lo Yimotzi B'Vatecha. For the 7 days of Pesach, you're not allowed to have any Sor, any Chometz, in your house. Now, what does this come to teach us? Ma Talmud Omer. V'Lokvar Ne'emar, the Pasuk already taught me. Now, the girsa that we have is V'Lo Yireh L'cho Sor, V'Lo Yireh L'cho Chometz, B'Chol Gvulecha. However, the actual Pasuk is, and this is from Shemos Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Matzo Siyachel Eishivas Yomim. V'lo yirecho chametz first, v'lo yirecho sa'ar second, v'chol gvulecha. So again, on the side there are different gears. So over here, Rashi has a different gear. So, but we're basically dashing this pasuk as follows. The Gemara is asking, why do we need both of these pesukim? It says shivas yomim sa'ar lo yimotzi v'vatechem, and then you have the second pasuk, v'lo yirecho chametz, v'lo yirecho sa'ar. Why do we need both of them? So the Gemara answers, l'fi shenemar lo yirecho sa'ar. Since we have the words that you shan't have any chametz sa'ar in your house. Shelecha yataroa. It says lo yirelecha sar. Your chametz you can't see in your house. However, avolataroa shelacherim b'shelgavoa. But you are allowed to see the chametz of acherim. Rashi explains acherim means kigon nachri, like a nachri, implying, however, not only a nachri, b'shelgavoa or from hekdish. In hekdishim lebedek abayis. Somebody dedicated his chametz to the Beis HaMikdash. He says, all my bread belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and they can do with it whatever they want. They can sell it and use the money for bedek abayis. So the pasuk tells me, ilo yireh l'cha, it means you're allowed to see not your own, aval ataroa shelacherim shelgavoa. So Yochel Yatmin, I might have said, okay, I'm allowed to go and hide my own chametz, so it's not going to be seen. It's only the problem of seeing it. The kabo pikdonos min anachwi, or I could take a pikodon, I could take something from a non-Jewish person and keep it in my house as well. Talmud Lomar, no. The pasuk says lo yimotze. That's why you need over here both lo yimotze and lo yeroi l'cho so'or. That's why you need both. Furthermore, Ein li ela b'nochri shelo kibashto. This pasuk would tell me only in regards to a nochri that I'm not in control of. In other words, a ger toshav. Dein shari imcha b'chotzer, and he's not living with us like a ger toshav lives with us. Nochri kishibashto b'shari imcha. However, a ger toshav who's living in Eretz Yisrael with us b'chotzer in our communities. He's allowed to. He's accepted the yoke of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Minayin, that I'm also not allowed to have his chametz in my house. Talmud Lomer, lo yimotzei bevoteichem. I'm not allowed to have even his chametz in my house. Now this is somewhat of a paradox. I would have said that his chametz is certainly not allowed to have, and the chiddush would be for a guy that you're not kovash, a guy who is not part of the Ger Toshav movement, so to say, which the Gemara will ask in a second. So Gemara says, so this tells me in my houses I'm not allowed to have it. What about beboros, beshichin, beboros? What about in all these different types of locations within my property? For example, if I have a bor, I have a well or a pit, I have shichin, these are like these ditches that we've mentioned, these depressions in the ground, or my caves. How do we know I'm not allowed to have the chametz there as well? Talmud Lomar, bechol givulecho. That's why we need the words to tell me any place in your possession. Now, I die in anymore. Even if we only had these drushes, I still would have questions. I would say, "Babatim over mishum bayir over bayimotzei." In my houses, I would be over bayir over bayimotzei, and likewise, I would be over ubayatlin ubayikabel pikdonos from a nachri. I'm not allowed to go and hide my own chametz or accept a pikadon from a nachri. By gvulin shelucha yateroe, and in my possession, in my entire gvul, in my entire area, my borders, shelucha yateroe, I can't have my own, avalateroe, shelucha yateroe, but there I would be allowed to have, we said, from Nochrim or from Gavoa. How do we know that bias and gvulim, the same din applies across the board, that both apply to both? That's why it says sa'or twice. So it teaches us, nemar sa'or bebatim, it says, regards to the batim, lo yimotzi sor bivotechan, sor lo yimotzi bivotechan. The nemar sor begulin. It says by the gulin as well, lo yilchor sor bechol gulecha. So mas or hamor bibatim over mishum by your rabbi yimotzi. Just like if you have sor in your houses, you're over by your rabbi yimotzi, or by yakmin, or by yikabo pikdonos ben anachrim. All of that applies in your houses. So af sor hamor begulin. The same thing applies over mishum by your rabbi yimotzi in all of those places as well. Or by yakmin, or by yikabo pikdonos shon anachrim. Min anachrim also applies. Now you need it the other way as well. Uma sor hamor begulin shelachay ataroeh avolat aroeh shelachayim shelgavoah. And likewise, it says in your gvul only your own chametz you can't have, but chametz that you're not responsible for that belongs to anachrim. Or shall go voa hektish afzor homer bebatim shall choyataroa avalataroa shall achem shall go. Same thing applies to your houses, that it's only us if you to have chametz that you're responsible for. But if it's nachri chametz or gavoa chametz that you're not responsible for, then there is no isser over here. So that's the full brisa. Now we go back and address the question that I mentioned. On my mar, it said, Ein li ela b'nachri shall be kibashto. It's only applying to a nachri that you don't have under your domain, so to say. In other words, it's not talking about a ger toshav. He's not living with you. But a nachri shel kibashto b'shari imcha b'chotzer, how do we know that that applies to him as well? Now I said that's backwards. Klapi laya. The Gemara says it should be the other way around. Which nachri would I think you're allowed to have the chametz in your house? The one that is under your domain or the one that's not under your domain? I would have said certainly the one that's not under your domain. So someone says, you're right, Taka, I'm going to buy you epoch. You have to flip it around. And the chiddush over here is that even the nachri that's not under your domain, he's not a ger toshav. So then he's also not allowed to have his chametz in your possession. You can't have his chametz in your possession if you're responsible for it. That's the teretz that Abai gives, epoch. Flip it around. Rabbi says, no, leave the ger to the way it is. Lo lom lo tefoch. Rava says you don't have to flip it around. He says, when it says here that it's talking about benachri shloki bashto, aresha koi, it's talking about the resha, which means shalacha yatarowe, yours you're not allowed to see, aval atarowe shalacherim shalgavah, but if you're not responsible for it, you can have in your possession the chametz of a goy or the chametz of hektish. So here you might have thought, ein li ela benachri shloki bashto. Here I would have said that this applies only to a nachri that's not under your domain. He's not living with you, and therefore that's why you're allowed to have his chametz. I would have said, however, nachri shekibashto, a ger toshav, v'shari imcha b'chotzi, he's living with you, he has the right to live with you, he's accepted the Zayin Mitzvahs b'Noach, and he's accepted the Kodesh Baruch Hu's yoke, minayin, even such a nachri who's allowed to have chametz, Zayin Mitzvahs b'Noach doesn't include not having chametz, so he's allowed to have chametz. How do you know he's allowed to have it in your possession as long as you're not responsible for it? Talmud Lomar, lo yimotze, that's what we need. Lo yimotze l'cha, sor b'chol gulecha. That's why you need that pasuk. But that's somewhat of a strange drasha. Bahaitana mihadir ater. According to Rava, what we're doing here is finding a kula, the nasiv la kra li surah, but he's using a pasuk that actually says a chumra, lo yimotzi sorbivotechem, to show us a kula. So it says, no, yeah, that's exactly it. Mishum shenema, l'cha, l'cha, trey zimne. It says the word l'cha twice, and therefore, because it says the word twice, it can come to teach us over here a kula. As Rashi explains, the pasuk says lo yirilcho sa'or b'chol gvulecha, and then it says in Parshas Re, it says lo yirilcho chometz lo yirilcho sa'or b'chol gvulecha again in Parshas Bo. So therefore, you have the extra pasuk to teach us that this applies as a kula. Now the Gemara quotes another part of the Braisa, Amamar. Whenever you have Amamar, it always goes back and quotes part. Gufa, usually it means we quote the whole thing. So Amamar, it says, Yocho Yatman, I might have thought that I could hide chametz in the ground, or v'kabel pikdonos min nochem, or to take a pikdon from a guy for which I'm responsible for, and that would be allowed. Talmud Lomar, lo yimotzi. No, that's not allowed either. Where it says, Ha'armis Reisha, but you said at the beginning, Shalachoy Yataroa, Avalataro, Shalachayim Shalgavah. That seems to contradict, however. Here, you take it from the guy pikdon. At the beginning, we said you're allowed to. You can have l'cha, only your chametz you can't have, but the guy's chametz you can. And here it says you can't take a bikada from them. What's going on? So Gemara says, lo kasha, I've already answered this in the way I've learned it. Hod the kabbalei achrayis, hod lo kabbalei achrayis. It all depends. Are you responsible for the chametz or not? If you're responsible for the chametz, so then it's called l'cha. And that's why it's not allowed. But if you're not responsible for the chametz, so then this is a heter that the guy's chametz, for which you're not responsible for, can be in your property, and you're not over an iser. And with Maisa Shoyok, Yodam Malu Rava, Levnei Mechuza. Rava told the people of Mechuza, Ba'iru Chamira Debnei Chela Mibataychu. The Goyish soldiers would quarter in their houses. That was a rule that they could go and stay in your houses. And Rava told the people in his town, go and get rid of the chametz that these soldiers brought into your houses. Because kivan the ilu mignav, the ilu mitvid, because if the chametz that they put in your houses were to be stolen or to get lost, you'd be held responsible for it. So the guy comes through town, he puts his peanut butter sandwiches in your house, and he says, I'm depositing them in your house. If you don't give him back those peanut butter sandwiches because they're stolen or lost, you have to pay him for the peanut butter sandwiches. The Gemara says, "Birishu sayachu koi." It's in your possession. Uba yisul shalumi, and you're held responsible for it. And therefore, that's why Rava told the people of Mechuza, "Be mavatalit, get it out of your house." Kidilachon dami, because it's considered like it's yours because of the achrayis, the osur, and that's why you can't keep it in your possession, even though it's his. But since you're accountable for it, and if it were to get lost or stolen, you'd have to pay him for it. It's considered halachic like it's yours, and therefore that type of chametz you're not allowed to keep in your house from the guy. Now, this is great. We have a famous rule throughout Shas, a machlokas, as to whether something that causes you to owe money is considered like money. So in this situation, this chametz that's in your possession is considered, it's going to cause you money if it gets lost, so it's like having it in your possession. So great, according to this man, the Omar, we understand why Rabbi told the Bnei Mechuza, get rid of this chametz from your house, because it's like yours, because it's goreim, it's going to cause you money if it were to get lost. However, Elaman Diomar, Lav Kimon Mundami, but according to the opinion that says it's not like money, so then why should you be held accountable for it? Why do you have to get rid of it? Ma'ikalam Emar, it's not yours, even though you're going to have to pay for it, but we don't consider such an item as being yours. Laman Diomar, Lav Kimon Mundami, it's not considered like it's yours, even though you're going to have to pay for it, so then why are you over the ownership of chametz if it technically isn't yours? Shemar says, no, that's why the pasuk says, even according to this man d'amar, shiny hach, here it's different. In general, you're right. Man d'amar, it says, lav k'mam undami, would say that this wouldn't be yours. But here we have a special pasuk that says, d'amar lo yimotze, you're not allowed to have it at all in your house, which includes even mamon that is goreim, which normally would not be k'mam undami, but here it is. That's one way to learn this. Ika the Amre, another way to learn this is as follows. This works out very well. According to the Man D'Yomar, it says that if you have money that you're going to have to pay for something, we don't consider it like your money, and therefore it should not be considered a problem for you. That's why we now have the pasuk to tell me, lo yimotze, to teach us that in this situation we do consider it like it's yours. However, according to the Man D'Yomar, it says, Dover Hagori Mamun is Kimamun Dami. Ela Man D'Yomar Kimamun Dami, who holds that it really is money, so then why do I need Lo Yimotze? I knew that anyway. Lomali, why do I need the words Lo Yimotze? I already know that because it's Dover Hagori Mamon ki mamon dami. So where says, no, I still need the words lo yimotze, itzrich. Why do I need it? Because sal kadai techaminoch, since I would have thought on my own, hoel v'chi isei hodor be'enei, since I could return it to this person, I could give him back the peanut butter sandwiches just as the way that they are. Therefore, if it's not stolen, if it's not lost, I return him that exact item, maybe la birish sekoi, maybe I would consider this, even though money that is goreng is normally kemamun dami, but here, since I'm giving it back the exact same thing, maybe, as long as I give it back the exact same thing, it wouldn't be considered in my rishos. La birishu se kai. Oh, kamash v'lan, that's why I need the pasuk, lo yimotze, to tell me this din as well. We'll just go a little bit weiter to get to the two dots. So the Gemara says, by me name Rabba, they asked me Rabba the following question. Behemas arnuna. If you have a behema that is going to the king, in other words, it's going to fulfill your tax obligations. Rashi says, Hamelech notel iser mina behema umina tvua. The king was entitled to taxes. He took a certain percentage. He took a tenth of your animals and he took a tenth of your wheat. So this is a behema that belongs to the king, so to say. Chayevis b'b'chora, oweinu chayevis b'b'chora. Do we consider this to be something that has a din of b'chor? Normally, if you have a partnership with a non-Jewish person, so then there's no din of b'chor. So is this arnuna, the fact that it's going for taxes, is that going to be considered like the king is a partner in it, and therefore there's no din of b'chor? Or no, we say no, it's not, and there is a din of b'chor. Var says, kol hecha demotzi masalek lebezuzei, under a circumstance where the king would be happy to take money instead of the actual animal, so then certainly, lo komi boy lo nechayev. So certainly, that animal would have the din of Bechor, because the king doesn't necessarily have that animal. You owe him $100. So you could give him the animal, or you could give him $100. So in that situation, everybody would agree that the animal is chayev in the din of Bechor. You don't have a partnership with a goy in that situation. However, ki kama baylon, this is where they asked Rava in the following situation. The king is interested in your animal. He doesn't want money. He has a big farm, and he wants your animal. And he's entitled to one-tenth of your animals. So this animal is really owned by the king. So in this situation, that's what they asked Rava. Is there a din of bechor? My. Is there a din of bechor in this situation? Not. So Rava answered them, amalu, tura. No, this is a situation where if the king is demanding this animal, he is therefore considered a partner or an owner of this animal, and there's no din of Bechor. Mor says, but we learned elsewhere in the Braisa, Votanya, Chayeves, Rava, how can you go against the Braisa? Rava, you're in Amora. How can you go against the Braisa? The Braisa says you are Mechayev in the din of Bechor in this situation. So the Mor says, no, there's a difference. Hosom, the Motzi Mesalakle. That Braisa, we said Yechayev, is exactly the first case where we said, Kolechi, the Motzi Mesalakle, Mezuze, Lo Komibailu, the Chayev. That is talking about where you don't have to give him the animal. The Braisa says, if you could pay off the king $100 instead of giving him the animal, so then there is a din of Bechor. That's what the Braisa is talking about. And Rava said, we're talking here about a case where the king demands the animal and is entitled to that animal, and therefore, in that situation, he is considered the owner of the animal, or at least a partner in the animal, and there is no din of Bechor. Another version of this is as follows. Amar Rava, Rava said, Behemas arnuna p'turim in abechora. If you have a behema that is this tax behema, so it belongs to the king, it's p'turim in abechora. It doesn't have a din of Bechora. And this is true, the afal gav de motzi misalik le. Here, Rava is saying, even if you could go and give him $100 instead of the animal, nevertheless, it still is considered that the king is a partner with you and you're exempt from the din of Bechor in such an animal. Question that we're asking is not in regards to an animal. Rava says everybody agrees in regards to animals, whether you have to give the king the animal or whether you can give the king money instead of the animal, everybody agrees that that animal is not chayev b'chor. Where was the question? Isas arnuna chayevis b'chala. The question was, if you have a dough, normally from a dough, you have to go take off challah and give it to the kohen. If you have a personal personal baker, not a professional baker, so you take off 1/24th of the dough and you give that as a matnas kahuna, one of the presents, or 24 presents of kahuna, you give that to the kohen. So isas arnuna, what happens? The king also used to take a percentage of your dough and take it for the king. So isas arnuna chayevis b'chala. So Rava said that the dough of Arnuna is also chayiv and chala. However, even though you have to give this dough to the king is interested in dough. I guess he has to feed his staff, and he doesn't want the trouble of taking money and having to buy the food. He wants you to bring food to the staff. So therefore, this dough, which is going to the king, you can't get away by giving him money. So Rava said, even this dough, despite the fact that it's owned by the king, nevertheless, you have to take off chala from it. So Gemara asks, "My taima, how come?" So Gemara says, "Behema is leikala, isa less leikala." Because in regards to the behema, where Rabbi said it's clear that it belongs to the king, and therefore there's no din of bechar. So that's because everybody knows the behema. This animal has a certain level of farhesia, has a certain cold to it, has a certain public knowledge about this animal. But a doe, people see you baking a doe. They don't know that that's the king's doe. And therefore, Issa, less like kola, people are going to see you're baking a dough. Say, how come you didn't take it off and give to the Kohen? So therefore, it doesn't have a call to it that it belongs to the king. So therefore, Rava said you have to give the Matnas Kuna, Chala, to the Kohen in this situation. With this, we conclude today's shir.